Hey everybody, you're listening to the Savvy Shutterbug Podcast. I'm Jillian Mansfeld. Here at the show, you can find out about how to become a professional photographer, get educated about photography-related topics, learn some fun ideas for your business, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show. Photo enthusiasts, welcome back to the Savvy Shutterbug Podcast. I'm Jillian, your guide in the wild world of photography. Today we're rolling up our sleeves and diving headfirst into the heart of photography, shooting in manual mode. If the thought of ditching auto mode makes you sweat, don't worry, I'm here to make it as easy as understanding why pineapple on pizza is a controversial topic. Let's get started. Let's kick off our manual mode journey by unraveling the mystery of ISO. Picture ISO as your camera's night vision goggles. It's all about how sensitive your camera is to light. A low ISO number, like 100, is like a pair of sunglasses on a bright day, perfect for reducing light sensitivity. On the flip side, a high ISO, say 3200, turns your camera into a light-hungry beast ideal for those dimly lit scenes. But here's where it gets spicy. High ISO can be a double-edged sword. Ever seen a photo that looks grainier than a bowl of oatmeal? That's noise, my friends. It's the trade-off for cranking up your ISO in low light. It's like trying to watch TV with a bad reception. Sure, you can see the picture, but it's all fuzzy. Now, why should you care about ISO? Let's set the scene. You're at an intimate, low-light concert. The mood is set, the lighting is minimal, and you want to capture the soulful expression of the musician. A low ISO here would leave you with a photo darker than your morning coffee. So you dial up the ISO. Suddenly, the details emerge from the shadows like a cat in the night. You've got a shot that captures the mood without needing a flashlight. But remember, with great ISO comes great responsibility. It's all about finding that sweet spot. Too high, and your photos look like it's been in a snowstorm. Too low, and it looks like you're wearing glasses at night. You want to ride the wave just right. Picture this. You're at an indoor sports event. The lighting is as unpredictable as a toddler's mood. You want to freeze the action, but capture the intensity. A low ISO won't do you any favors. Your shots will be dark. But crank up that ISO and bingo. The players are frozen in time, every bead of sweat visible. It's all about making the most of the light that you have. So, as you play with ISO, think of it as your camera's superpower, the ability to see in the dark. But remember, every superhero has its kryptonite, and in the world of ISO, that's noise. Balance is key. Find that sweet spot and you'll be capturing moments that would otherwise be lost in the shadows. So we've illuminated the world of ISO. Now we're going to delve into the fast-paced world of shutter speed. Shutter speed is the part of your camera that's like a mini time gatekeeper. It decides how long the shutter stays open, letting light hit your camera sensor. Think of it as your camera's eyelids. Blink quickly and you freeze a moment. Blink slowly and you capture the flow of time. Fast shutter speeds are your go-to for freezing action. Imagine you're at a soccer game. The players are moving fast and you want to capture every crisp detail, from the beads of sweat flying off the player's forehead to the exact moment the ball hits the net. A fast shutter speed, say 1/100th of a second, freezes that action. It's like stopping time. Every detail, sharp and clear. But here's where it gets artistic. Slow down that shutter speed and motion transforms into a blur. Picture a city street at night, cars whizzing by. A slow shutter speed, like 2 seconds, turns those cars into a streak of light, painting the night with their trails. It's like capturing the ghost of motion. Now we could also talk about waterfalls. Ever seen those photos where the water looks like a smooth flowing veil? That's the magic of slow shutter speed. It turns the chaotic tumble of water into a soft, serene flow. It's a popular trick among landscape photographers to add a touch of dreaminess to their photos. But, and this is a big but, playing with shutter speed is not without its challenges. Slow down too much without a tripod, and your photo might end up looking like an abstract painting when you wanted it a crisp, clear photo. Camera shake is a real thing, folks. A good rule of thumb is to match your shutter speed to your lens focal length. Shooting with a 50mm lens, keep that speed faster than 1/50th of a second to avoid blur. Of course, unless you're going for the dreamy blurred look. Shutter speed isn't just a setting, it's a creative choice. It lets you decide how to capture time, freeze it, blur it, or somewhere in between. It's what makes photography so exciting. You're not just capturing what you see, you're capturing how you see it. So the next time you're out with your camera, play around with those shutter speeds. Experiment, see what effects you can create. Photography is about exploration, and shutter speed is one of the most fun tools you can explore with. Freeze that racing dog, blur that bustling street, and find your unique way of seeing the world. Now that we've played with time, let's open up and dive into the world of aperture. Aperture is the eye of your camera. This little guy is all about control. It controls how much light enters your lens and hits the camera sensor. Think of it like your eye's pupil, adjusting in size based on how bright or how dark a room is. Aperture is measured in f-stops. And here's the fun part. The lower the number, like f2, the wider the opening. Wide open aperture means light. And more importantly, that creamy, dreamy background blur we all love. You know, that kind that makes your subject pop like they're on a 3D poster, or what we all call bokeh. But there's more. Aperture isn't just a one-trick pony. Dial it up to a higher f-stop, say f16, and the aperture narrows, like squinting on a bright day. This means less light, but it also means more of your scene is in focus. It's perfect for those epic landscape shots where you want every detail, from the flowers in the foreground to the mountains in the background, all crisp and clear. Now, you can't talk about aperture without talking about depth of field. This is where the aperture becomes a storytelling wizard. Want to highlight a single flower from a field? You go for a low f-stop. The shallow depth of field on a low f-stop makes your subject stand out, softly blurring the rest out. But let's say you're capturing a street scene and you want every person, every sign, and every building sharp in focus. Go high on the f-stop. This deeper depth of field makes more of your scene in focus. Here's a pro tip. Every lens has a sweet spot for sharpness, usually around f8. This is like the Goldilocks zone for apertures. Not too wide, not too narrow, just right. It's especially great when you're starting out or when you need a reliable go-to setting. But aperture isn't just about technical settings. It's about mood and feeling and the style. A low f-stop can turn a simple portrait into an intimate moment, drawing your viewer's eye right to the subject's expression. A high f-stop, on the other hand, can turn a landscape into a grand, detailed vista, immersing your viewer into the scene. And here's a little humor for you. Think of aperture like your stomach at a buffet. Low f-stop, your eyes or your lens are bigger than your stomach, focusing on that one delicious dish. High f-stop, you want a bit of everything on your plate, all in focus. So the next time you're out with your camera, play with your aperture settings. Experiment with different f-stops and see how they change the story of your photo. Remember, photography is as much about the story you want to tell as about the technical know-how. With aperture, you're the director, setting the stage for how your viewer sees your world. All right, we've explored the eye of the camera. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty of balancing all these settings for perfect exposure. now it's the time for the grand finale of our manual mode journey, the symphony of ISO, shutter speed, and aperture. So imagine you're a conductor, and these are your instruments. Each one plays a crucial role in the harmony of your image. Let's set the stage. You're at a bustling street market at dusk. The lights are coming on, and you want to capture the vibrancy and motion. You start with ISO. It's getting darker, so you nudge it up a bit, but not too much, just enough to lift the shadows. Next, shutter speed. You want to blur the people walking to capture the sense of motion, so you slow it down. But now it's a bit too bright. Time for aperture to save the day. You increase the f-stop to let less light in. And there you have it, a beautifully balanced photo with just the right touch of blur, lighting up the energy of the market. Practicing in manual mode is like playing a new instrument. At first, it's all unfamiliar notes and awkward pauses. But the more you practice, the more you understand the rhythm and the flow. Experiment with different settings in various situations. Shoot in bright light, then try a dimly lit room. Play with motion and light and depth. Make mistakes, they're your best teachers. And here's something to remember. Rules in photography are more like guidelines. It's an art form, and you're the artist. Manual mode is your palette, and the world around you is bursting with scenes waiting to be captured. Use these tools to express your vision, your emotion, and your story. Let me leave you with this thought. Photography is a journey, not a destination. It's about exploring, discovering, and constantly learning. Each photo you take is a step in that journey. So embrace the adventure that manual mode offers. Push boundaries, challenge conventions, and above all, have fun with it. Your camera is not just a tool, it's a gateway to endless possibilities. And with that, we wrap up today's exploration into the heart of manual mode. I hope this episode leaves you feeling inspired and ready to take the reins of your camera. Remember, the path to great photography is paved with practice and curiosity. So go out there, experiment, and capture the world in your unique way. Until next time, keep your lens clear, your battery charged, and your creativity flowing. Thank you for joining me on the Savvy Shutterbug podcast with your host, Jillian Mansfeld. As always, you can head over to SavvyShutterbug.com or JillianMansfeldPhotography.com and sign up to our email list, as well as check out the links and resources in the show notes. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.